Today's shiur is Masech Mavim Tzia, Daf Mem Tes. We will begin on Daf Mem Tes, Amud Aleph, three lines from the wide lines. It says the Gemara, Rav Kahana Yavale Zuzay Kitna. Rav Kahana sold linen, and he received money for the linen that he had sold. The Saifa Yaka Kitna. And then the price of linen went up. Asla Kamei Derav. So Rav Kahana came with a shaila to Rav. Amalei, and he wanted to know if he could back out of the deal. Amalei, b'maiden the kitzuzi, for the amount that you have received the down payment. So, as Rashi explains, going back to what we discussed at the end of our previous year, that the Gemara said that if somebody gives a down payment, so the amount that's given for the down payment, that amount becomes a sale. So certainly havlahu, you have to give them that amount of linen, vidach. But for the rest of what you had made a deal, vidach, the rest that you made a deal, dvarim ninhu, that's only a verbal commitment. And dvarim, if somebody makes a verbal commitment, ein be mishum mechsur emona, there is no concern, and you could back out. There is a machlokes rishonim. What is the halacha? Will he receive a mishapara, the subject that we've been discussing and will continue discussing? But he's saying, if you're willing to take a mishapara, then you could back out. Or did he mean to say that? What did he mean to say that you could do it? Some rishonim say that since the price went up, the halacha is that he could back out. Others say that he certainly had no right to back out, and therefore he's going to accept upon himself that he's going to get a mishapara, but he was willing to take it. Ditmar, says the Gemara, we learned dvarim. If somebody just made a commitment, Rav Amar Ein Be Mishum Chosri Kamana, and you could back out. Rav Yochanan Amar Yesh Be Mechusri Amana, and that you have a right to back out. Meisvei asked the Gemara on Rav's opinion. Rav Yosef Yehuda Amar Mat Tam Aloimer. The pasuk says regarding the halacha that we have to have honest weights. The Torah says Mosnei Tzedek. Avnei tzedek, Eifet tzedek, Vehint tzedek, Yir lechem. So the question is, why do we have to mention both a hin and an eifa? Asking whether a hin, b'chlal eifa haya. The hin is just a smaller measure cup than an eifa. So why is it necessary to mention both of those types of measuring instruments? Ella, to teach us, Loi Melach, the Torah Kedosh, wants to teach us, Shehin Shalcha Tzedek, says the Gemara, that your yes should be an honest yes, V'lav Shalcha Tzedek, and your no should be an honest low. So the Mefarshim explained, so Ben Yoyada says, what happens, so saying yes, and then backing out, asked the Ben Yoyada, we could understand why it's considered dishonest. First you said you're going to sell, and now I'm backing out, and that's considered dishonest. But ask the Ben Yoyada, if somebody said, I'm not interested in selling, and then he changes his mind, and he wants to back out, and somebody says, I don't want to sell, and then he changes his mind, and he's ready to sell, why is that considered dishonest? So Ben Yoyada explains, I have a property, and I have a neighbor next to my property, and I asked him, I want to work on my property, and I asked my neighbor, are you interested in selling? And my neighbor says, no, I'm not interested in selling. Based on what my neighbor said that he's not interested in sell, I begin to work on my property with the understanding that he's not selling. And as soon as I finish working on my property, then my neighbor changes his mind. He says, I'm ready to sell. So what happened here was that his no was a dishonest no, because by him, if he would have told me that he's ready to sell at the beginning, I would have done my construction differently. That's why even the lav shelcha is considered, even you know, has to be an honor, honest mo. The Shas Tshuvas says, the Shas Tshuvas B'tzel Chochma based on this says, let's say somebody said, I'm going to lend you money. The Minadin, you're allowed to back out. Since there was really no solid deal here, if there's no solid deal, it's not considered that you violated anything. But now that we learned that you're honest, that there's still hens shulcha, you're tzaddik, the loch is that you have to be careful. Amar Abaya, says the Gemara, that pasuk is not coming to teach us an isser mechusri emona. But the pasuk is teaching us shleidab echad bepev echad belev. We have to be honest in what we say, and we can't be echad bepev vechad. We can't be echad bepev vechad belav. However, I saw a number of points that the Sefer Chassidim makes. The Sefer Chassidim says that included in this is not only the person's word have to be honest, but even his motions. If a person shakes his head as if he's saying yes, or if he shakes his head as if he's saying no, that also has to be honest. That's included in Hinchah Shulcha Tzedek and Lav Shulcha Tzedek. Furthermore, the Sefer Chassidim says that the person who says something which is not true, his punishment is that even when he's going to say something that's true, people will listen to him. On the other hand, if somebody always says the truth, says the Sefer Chassidim, the pasuk says in Navi, the tigs in Eiv, the tigs are oimer v'yakum loch. A person who's always saying the truth, then the tigs are oimer, whatever he says, will be accepted. I saw that the Sefer Imri Pinchas explains shehen shulchat tzedek v'lav shulchat tzedek, that a person before, as he's asked a question, should always think before he answers yes, is this a yes that I'm supposed to say? And this is a no that I'm supposed to say. Hen shalchat tzedek, the yes that you say should be a yes that's supposed to be a yes. The lav shalchat tzedek, and the lav that you say should also be a situation where you're supposed to say what you mean. I saw that the Sefer Vichy Yosef explains, the pasuk says that as Yaakov was going to greet Esav, the pasuk says, "V'yishlach Yaakov malachim lefanov," and Rashi says, "Malachim mamish." It was real malachim, not human beings. And the Sefer Yechi Yosef asks, "Why was it necessary for Yaakov Avinu to send real malachim? Why couldn't he send people?" So he says that Yaakov Avinu, of course, did not want to be in a positive relationship with Esav. He didn't want to be friends with a Russia. The only thing that he was trying to show as if he's friends with Esav was because of the necessity of the moment. So Yaakov Avinu at that time was not piv v'liv by shavim. Outwardly, he was acting as if he wants to be Esav's friend, but he really didn't want to be Esav's friend. So he didn't want to send people for this job because he was concerned that if he sends people, they're going to learn that it's permissible to be echad bepeh ve'echad belev. So that's why v'yishach Yaakov malachim. He sent malachim, but malachim, you don't have to be concerned that about echad bepeh ve'echad belev. The Sefer Tepuch Echayim says, the pasuk says, b'ficha u'b'vavcha la'asoysoy. So he explains that here we're learning the necessity of honesty. So he says, there was once a person who was about tshuva, and he wanted to go on the right path, and he asked somebody, what is the right thing to do? How could I guarantee myself that I will end up on the right path? So he said that he was told, always be careful to say the truth. And what happened was, this person was on the way to do an Aveira. So of course, he's not going to say publicly that I'm going to do an Aveira. So he had to say the truth. He's not going to publicly say that I'm going to do an Aveira. And by being careful to only say the truth, that's how he was able to prevent himself from doing an Aveira. Beficha u'b'vavcha, if you're always careful, b'ficha b'vavcha, that your heart and your mouth and your heart are in the same place, then lasoisoi, then you'll be zoicha to do what's right. So here we learn how important it is to keep your word. So the Rama says that the halacha is yesh la adam lachso ul hader achal mail bal bris hayos tov the tzaddik. You're supposed to look for a mail and a tzaddik who's the best. Another question is that what will be the halacha if somebody asks somebody to be a mail, and then as he was about to, the day of the bris comes, and at that time, there's somebody comes to town who is even a bigger tzaddik. And the question he asks is, can you back out from that kibud? So, on one hand, the halacha is you have to be honest. But in a case, says the Chasam Sofer, where there's an umdana, if you would have known that mile will be available, then the halacha is you could back out. The Shas Tshuvas Michas Yitzchak discusses a situation where somebody, this is a Chelik Zayin Simon Peites, somebody asked somebody to be a mile, and the bris was supposed to be on Friday. So the mile that he was at, that was asked to be the mile, says on Friday, it's difficult for me to be at the mile at this bris, because I live far away, I'm afraid I'm not going to get home for Shabbos. So he asked another mile to be the mile. But for whatever reason, the bris got delayed to later, to next week. So now the first mile could be asked to be a mile again. The question is, so he would prefer the first mile. But the second mile says, you came to me and I agreed, you can't back out. And the Michas Yitzchak says that the halacha is that he could back out if the first person is to use the better mile. The Mashag discusses a case with someone whose wife was pregnant. And he told somebody that if my wife has a boy, you will be the tzaddik. But then his wife had a girl. But then afterwards, years later, his wife had a baby and was a boy. And the person says, you owe me the tzaddikos. And the Mashag says, he doesn't owe him the tzaddikos. The halacha is that since that baby obviously was not a boy, he doesn't have to keep that. The Shari Tshuva writes, "Hamavtechas chaveroi lehetav imoy. If I promise to do you a favor, and then I back out, v'shakav dvarim v'yosam lekel maasoi, then he backs out. Ki achrei sh'om lehetav imoy b'loshen ha'toicha. If I had told you that I will certainly take care of you and do this to you, and do ubatak by leiv chaveroi, and you relied on me, ein lo lechal after chasoi. I have to keep my commitment. Kizeh derech sheker, doing something like this is considered derech sheker. Vuka adam over bris. He uses very sharp words. It is a person who violated a treaty. Shenema sheres yisrael liyas avlu v'leidab kazov v'leyimtza b'fiem loshen ta'armis. A person should always keep his word, and no matter what you have to keep your word. And only by living that type of life, where a person always keeps his word, that's when you could keep. Now there's an interesting question that the Paiskim discuss. What's going to be the halacha? Is this commitment that we're speaking about, is there a difference between a tzibur or a yachid? And the Paiskim say that a tzibur has a much greater obligation to fulfill their obligation than a yachid. Because an obligation that a person gives, you always have to follow. So I saw, here we're saying that you always have to keep your word. So I saw that Reb Chaim Brisker was asked that the halacha is priyas bal chayv mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to pay off any debts that we have. But the halacha is ayivazbeis. That when somebody's doing a mitzvah, he doesn't have to give more than 20%. So let's say the amount that I owe represents more than 20% of what I have. Do I have to pay? Because here we're learning, says the Chaim Brisker, ayivazbeis, when you're doing a mitzvah, ayivazbeis yes mechaimish, you don't have to give more than 20%. So Chaim Brisker said, a gvalda geteretz. He says, when is there a halacha of avazbeis ayivazbeis yes mechaimish? You don't have to spend more than 20% of your money. In other words, if you have to do a mitzvah, you're not obligated to spend more than 20% of your mitzvah, of your money to fulfill the mitzvah. When you're paying back a person money that you owe him, you're not using your money to pay him. You're using his money to pay him. When you're using his money to pay him, the rule of avazbeis ayivazbeis yes mechaimish obviously doesn't apply. Ask the Gemara, so Rav says, that Dvarim, Yesh v'mishim chusre emana. Ask the Gemara, Rav Shimon Aymer, Api she'amru, even though we learn Tanis koina dinazov, vein dinazov koina talis. You go back to the halacha that we began this perek with, that the halacha is that assets, the currency cannot be used to make a kinyan, but as the mashicha and a commodity makes a kinyan. So as we learned, if somebody's buying a garment, a talis, so the halacha is, if I gave money for the garment, it's not yet mine. But if somebody did mashicha on the garment, it is mine. Become makim, tach halacha. The halacha is that you can't force, if that's what happened, we cannot force a kinyan. Avul omru, the Chazal teach us, misha par manchadara mabu manchadara flaga, somebody who punished, that means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who punished those people, who asked the farm Misha Enema Deburai. He's going to punish somebody who doesn't keep his word. So we see the Dvarim Mechosre Kabana. Says the Gemara Tanaihi. It's actually Mechlekes Tanaim, because some Tanaim hold Dvarim Mechosre Mana and some hold not like that. The Tanan. And the Gemara brings a raya from a Mishnah we're going to learn later in a Masechta on that Pei Gimel and Aleph. The Mishnah teaches us Masa Rabbi Yochim and Basya, but Masya Shomel Benoi. Go hire workers on our behalf. So he went and he hired them and he promised them that he's going to give them meals. When he came to his father, Amaloi, his father told him, Bini, since you did not specify how much you're going to feed them, we know the Gemara Masechta Gittin taught us that Shlomo HaMelech was first on top of the world, but then his stature diminished. And he told him, even if you make meals for them, like when Shlomo HaMelech was on top of the world. And as the Mishnah says, that the Mishnah over there says, that if he just says, I'm going to give you meals, so you have to give Kaminika Medina, whatever is the custom. If he says he's going to give more, you have to keep your word. Here he promised them meals. So the way the Gemara over there explains it, somebody who promised meals doesn't have to give a meal, because obviously he meant to give more. Because to give the simple meal, that we don't need a special designation. The halacha is you have to give what you have to give. By saying that he's going to give more, what he meant to say was that he's going to give them more. And more, as we're saying now, doesn't have a definition. Because you're never going to fulfill your obligation. Shehem, b'nei Avram Yitzhak Yaakov, they're Jews, and they are entitled to the best. Before they begin working, because before they begin working, the commitment is not yet in place. Go tell them, Shein lehem alai el pasva kitnis bavad. I only have to serve you bread and beans. But ask the Gemara, if we're going to say, Dvar Miyesh Mem Chusre Emunah, as soon as I make a commitment, I have to follow it. How could he say that he's backing off? A commitment is a commitment. Answers the Gemara, Shani Hasam, the Fu'alim Gufay Lo'isam Chadaita. The workers themselves recognize that. The workers themselves recognize that he can't make too much of a commitment. Why? my tama. May the idea the workers themselves are aware that avua the avua samach, that he is not in position to make commitments because everything he's doing is only based on his father. And if his father didn't agree, the commitment is really not a full commitment. So ask the Gemara, if that is indeed the case, even if they began working, he should be able to back out. Answers the Gemara, there it's different. Once they begin working, at that point, they're certain that he's going to fulfill the commitment. Amru, because they're going to say to themselves, Meimer Omar. He told his father, Meima Omakamida Veyu. He told his father what he committed to Venichale. So at that point, the aloch is that the commitment would have to be honored. The Ben Yoyada asks that the father said to Chanina, Afila to Oislam Suda Shloima Bishatoi. What does it mean Bishatoi? So the Pasha Pshat is, as we said, that Shloima Melech, when he was on the road, when he was being chased, at that point, obviously, his meals were not that great. But now, he said, Bishata, when Shlomo Melech was firmly in his palace and on his throne, at that point, obviously, his meals were very significant. What does it say, Avram, Yitzchak, V'Yaakov? Avram, we know, was the model of Achnasas Archim. But where do we find that Yitzchak and Yaakov were the same? So we find that Yitzchak was also very generous, because the pasuk says that Rivka said to take shnei gedoya izim and atzoyim. It was a regular meal, and he took two whole sheep. So we see again from here that how important that even Yitzchak and Yaakov, presumably the same, were very generous. Says the Gemara, Umiyam Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, that the halacha is that you're not allowed to back out. If somebody tells somebody else, I'm giving you a gift, and there was no kinyan made, yochel achzabai. The halacha is that he could back out. Yochel, of course, why can't he back out? There was no kinyan, pshita. Ela, mutal achzabai. That you're allowed to back out. So we see that there is no problem on mechosra amona. However, Rabbi Yochanan agrees that if I promise to give you a small gift, so that's something that you're relying on, and since it's something that you're relying on, since it's an amount that you're relying on, then the halacha is that I may not back out. The halacha here, I saw that the Sefer Shalos HaTshuvos Orech Mishpat says that we know, often we discuss, actually in this Masechta, that a poel yochel lachzabai b'emtzayon. If somebody is a worker, he can walk off the job in the middle of the day. Because, as we learned, the Gemara says, Kali b'nei Yisrael avodim, the Kla Yisrael avodim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but not avodim to anyone else. And therefore, a worker cannot be obligated to remain if he wants to leave. But says the Shalos HaTshuvos Archimishpat, that even though he's allowed to walk out, but it still represents mechusri amuna. Just like when we make a commitment, we have to keep our commitment. The halacha here too is that certainly if it's a matana ma'atas, that you have to keep your word. And the Shari Tshuva writes that the Gemara says that matana ma'atas, even when the person promised what he said, that when he made it, he didn't say it in the promise, but the person assumed and had good reason to assume that he's going to get it, that's a good enough reason that you're not allowed to back out. Moreover, the Rajba and the Shas Chuvas Marim Vail I saw say that how do we define what is Matana Maruba and what is Matana Ma'atis? And they both say it's very subjective. It depends on who's the person giving the gift, and then the person depends on the person who's receiving the gift. And we have to look at those circumstances to make the decision what is a Matana Maruba and what is Matana Ma'atis. Hachinami Mestabro says the Gemara makes sense that Matana Ma'atis, you have to keep your word. Damar avu amar Rabbi Yochanan, Yisrael sh'amar leben Levi. Yisrael told the ben Levi, kar maisa, I have a certain amount of maisa, rishon, which we have to give to Levi. Yesh lecha biyadei, I'm giving it to you. The loch is ben Levi rishoy lasas trumas maisa makamachar. We know that when the Levi receives maisa rishon, he has to give 10% as trumas maisa. So the loch is that the Levi could assume for certain that he's getting that maisa rishon, and he could determine that this amount that he's giving should be the trumas maiser for that he's given. Says the Gemara, if we're going to say that the person who made this commitment cannot back off, that's why the Levi could take off trumas maiser, assuming that he's getting it. Eli Amrit, if we're going to say that the person who gave it could back off, why could the Levi use that for trumas maiser for somewhere else? Maybe he needs to be concerned that the Yisrael is going to end up giving it to different Levi. V'shtakach t'kocha t'volim, and what he gave, and now it turns out there was no trumas maisa removed. Answers the Gemara, hacha ma'iskinen, kigoyin shenotlam emenu, that the Levi already received these payers maisa. And then, v'chaz v'fkid etzloi, and then he gave it back to the Kohen. So the question is, even if the Yisrael can or can't back out, the halacha is that the Levi did not yet get the reality is that the Levi did not yet get the Maaser Rishon. So how can he take off Trumas Maaser without having received the Maaser? So Tosfos Rosh answers that our Gemara speaks about Makira Leviya. Makira Leviya is if I have a Levi who I always give my Maaser to, it's as good as he received it. Because since I always give it to him, that's why it's his. Other Rishonim say, along the same line, that's exactly what the Gemara means to teach us. That once I made a commitment to give him the Maaser Rishon, it's as good as he had it. The Ktzoi says that, where do we have a precedent for this? He says, let's say there's something in front of me which is Hefker, and I'm the only person that's here. So even though I haven't picked up this Hefker item, and therefore I haven't taken real ownership of it, since I'm the only person here, says the Ktzois, I could make it Kegdish. So we see that when it's for certain that I'm receiving something, the Halacha views it as if it's mine. But then the Mefarshim asks, but we just learned that the commitment only has to be honored by Matanam Beratis. Maybe there's a lot of Maaser Rishon here, and there we don't rely on what the commitment was. So Mefarshim explained that it's always considered a Matana Me'etes, because I, the owner of a Maaser Rishon, I have no ownership in that Maaser. I'm giving it away to the Levi. The only ownership that I have in this is a Tovus Hanoah that I could choose which Levi to give it to. That is not considered a significant amount. And since that's not considered a significant amount, it's always going to be considered Matana Metis. Says the Gemara, but now is saying that the reason it's fine because the Levi had actually received it. Ask the Gemara if we're speaking about a case where the Levi had already received it. Ema Seifa, let's go further. Nosn Leben Levi Echer, if I gave it to different Levi, Ein Lo Elav Trumas, he could be upset at me, the first Levi. Ask the Gemara, Uwe explaining that Bryce is referring to a situation. That I had already given it to the Levi. And then the Levi asked me, the Yisrael, just to watch it in the meantime. Why is it just that he could be upset at me? Kiven the Ashche, once the Levi did own the Mashiach on it, it's his. It must be speaking about a case, but the loy notlo, that he didn't receive it. It's all we have here is I made a commitment. And from here we see that by Matana Me'etes, a commitment has to be honored. Rav Shlomo Eger, who was the son of Rav Kiva Eger, was appointed to be the Rav of the city of Kalish. He invited his father, Rav Kiva Eger, who was the Rav in Poznan, who was the Rav of Pozna, wrote to his son that I would like to come see you. He was already older and he needed a vacation. So he said, I'd like to come visit you in Kalish. Rav Shloimeh Eger knew that if he's going to come to the city where he is the Rav, the great Rav Eger, people are going to all want to come see him and he wouldn't really be able to get a rest. So there was a Jew who owned a beautiful home right outside of the city. And he asked that person that he should, could you host my father, Rav Akiva Eger, and he should be able to rest. The person, of course, was thrilled with the opportunity to have Rav Akiva Eger as a guest. However, the Rosh HaKol, the president of the community where Rav Shlomo Eger was the Rav in Kalish, was very upset. He felt, as the president of the community and as the wealthiest person in the community, it was only appropriate that Rav Akiva Eger should be his guest. So when Rav Akiva Eger came to the town, he had the person who was driving Rav Akiva Eger take Rav Akiva Eger not in that direction. And Rav Akiva Eger ended up staying. Because what happened, Rav Akiva Eger ended up staying by the home of his son, Rav Shlomeh Eger. Rav Shlomeh Eger told his father what happened here. And now Rav Akiva Eger, in his incredible modesty, said that me staying in someone's home is a matana metis. What's the big deal if I'm staying in somebody's home? And once we're learning, in our Gemara we're learning, that once there's a commitment on a matana metis, that commitment must be honored. And therefore he said, I have to at least go visit that home that we should be able to keep the commitment that you made, and especially since in my mind the commitment was a minimal commitment. The Chasam Sofer, based on what we're learning now, that there's a difference between a matana merubah and a matana me'etes, explains the psukim in the conversation between Avram Avinu and Ephraim. Because the pasuk says, Hasadun sati l'cha, v'amara shebechal l'cha nesitiha. Ephraim gave to Avram this field and the cave. The question was, the pasuk says, v'yitin li esmaras mechbel shebekzei sudea. Avram Avinu only wanted to buy the cave. He didn't want to buy the field. Why did Ephraim give him the field as well? He said Ephraim wanted to back out. But he knew if it's going to be a matana mu'etes, just the cave, he can't back out. So what did Ephraim do? What Ephraim did was he gave him not just the cave, not just the mara. He gave him the entire field. Now it became a matana merubah. And since it became a matana merubah, he could back out. Avram Avinu, seeing what's happening here, what did he do? Avram Avinu said to Ephraim, you know what? Hakesef, I'll pay you as much as you want. Since I'll pay you as much as you want, then once I pay, you obviously can't back out. The Sefer Chashukei Chemed discusses a shaila where somebody had, Baruch Hashem, a son, a Bechor. And he asked a kohen to be the kohen by the pidyon haben. And now, before the pidyon haben takes place, he finds another kohen who is a bigger miyuchas. The question is, can he back out? On one hand, he could back out. He wants to use the kohen who's a bigger miyuchas. On the other hand, he already gave his word. So we've discussed that the halach is, we spoke about it earlier, that if you ask one person to be the mohel, and then there's a better mohel that shows up, you could ask the other mohel to be a mohel. So what's going to be the halacha? Do we say the same in this situation? So he suggests that at first glance it should be the same. But then he suggests it's really not the same. Because he says when we speak about a bris milah, you could only do a bris milah once. Since you can only do a bris milah once, and there's only one person I could ask to be the mohel, so I have the right to choose whoever's the better mohel. But when it comes to pidyon haben, technically you could do a pidyon aben with more than one kayin. You could give one kayin the money, and you could give another kayin the money. Since a pidyon aben is different, than a bris, where a bris you can't do twice, but a pidyon aben you can do twice, and we're learning in our Gemara how critical it is to be honest in what you say, and maybe you should just do the pidyon aben twice. Says the Gemara, "Hahu gaver the yav zuzay shum shmi." There was a person who gave money to buy sesame seeds. And however, there wasn't a full-fledged kinyan. He didn't do mashicha. And then, l'soif yakashim shmi. And then, the price of sesame seeds went up for hadrabay. And the seller wanted it back at for amrelay. And they told the buyer, "Less lana shim shmi. We don't want to sell you sesame seed. Shkol zuzach, take your money." And now he refused to take his money, and he left the money by the seller, and then ignav, and then that money was stolen. Asl kamei the Rava, so this question was brought to Rava. Amle, kivin the amle shkal zuzach v'lo shekalt. The moment he told you to take your money, and you did not take your money, he's not considered a shemesacha. Alfil shemechinam nami lehavi. He's not considered a shemechinam because he told you he's not here. But ask the Gemara, Amalei Rabbanan L'Rava, V'bay L'Kuvalei Mishapara, as we've been learning, somebody who received the money, even though technically there was no kinyan, but there's a Mishapara for not keeping his word, says the Gemara, Amalei Hachinami. Yes, the Mishapara the seller is going to have to take upon himself, but that doesn't mean he's a Shomer. Amra Papa Amalei Ravina, L'Dadi Amalei Ahum Rabbanan, Rav Tava Shmei, if says the Gemara, if you would give him all the money in the world, says the Gemara, he would never back out. What happened was, but the day of day, the story was with me. And what happened was, Hahu Yoima, Apanya de Mal Shabsahava. It was right before Shabbos, Vavir Sivna, and he was sitting in my hole. Vaso gavra v'koya baba. And there was a person that came and stood by the entrance. Vamle islach shishri lezbuni. Do you have any sesame seeds to sell? Amle lo, he said, I don't. Amle lahava hanach zuzu b'kodim gabach t'chashvili. He said, please watch this money because it's almost Shabbos and I can't go back home carrying the money. Amle habesa kamech. Here's my home. But I did not accept myself officially to be a shomer. And now, over Shabbos, a sivna bebeis, the money was left in the home, v'ignavin, it was stolen. Also kamei de Rava, now it came to Rava, if somebody says, harei beisi lefenecha, does that mean that I'm a shomer or not? Amalei, kol ha beisi kamach. If you just say ha beisi kamach, lo mebay shem soch to lehavu, you're not certainly in the category of a shem socha, afilu shem chinam nami lehavu. You're not even considered a shomer chinam. You never took upon yourself to be a shomer. Amalei, v'amalei rabbanan l'ravi b'alei l'kabulei meshapara. But according to you, there was no money given. So what's the story about the meshapara? Amalei, so he says l'heir dvar ma'ilam. That wasn't part of the story. There was never a situation of him taking money. Says the Gemara, says the Ein Elyo, the Gra discusses. Here we're saying that a person, even if you give him all the money in the world, he's not supposed to walk away from his word. Is that only in the case where he's going to not make as much profit? That means somebody gave me money for something that I sell, and then the price of that commodity went up, and I'm not interested in going through with the sale because I could get more. So there, the halach is, I'm not allowed to back out. Because as we've been learning throughout our shir, mechusrei amana, if you take upon yourself something, you have to keep what you took upon yourself. But what will be the halacha if you're going to lose money by keeping your word? Is there a halacha as well that you have to keep your word under all circumstances? Or perhaps the halacha is that there's only that much damage that you're supposed to take. And he wants to suggest, as we mentioned earlier in the shir, hamavazbiz alivazbiz yosim mechaimish. And if the loss that you're going to take is going to equal more than 20%, you're not obligated to take such a loss. So we learned in the Mishnah, Rav Shimon Omer, Kol Shekesa B'Yada Yada El Yoinai. We learned in the Mishnah that if there was no formal kinyan, then both the buyer or the seller could back out. Under certain circumstances, there'll be a mishapara, but they both back out. Rav Shimon holds that the seller could back out because he received the money already, but the buyer, who doesn't have what he bought and hasn't have the money anymore, can't back out anymore. Tanya, but says the Gemara quotes a brisa, Amar Rav Shimon Emesai, when is there a loacha that you could back out when money was given but there was no mashicha? Bizman shekasav aperis b'yad meicher, that the lekeach, the buyer, gave the meicher money, and now the meicher has both the money and what's being sold. Av kesav b'yad meicher, if the money is in the hands of the seller, or peris b'yad lekeach, and the buyer has the commodity, then the halacha is any yachalach sabai. Why? Menesha kaspe b'yadai. So what's the Gemara mean b'yadai? Because it's in the hands of the lekeach. He paid and he has the commodity. Ask the Gemara, b'yad meicha hu. He paid it to the meicha. El menesha me kaspe b'yadai. Not that he has the money. We just said that he gave the money to the seller. What it means to say is that the seller has the money, and the other person has what he got in exchange for the money. But ask the Gemara, I don't understand. If the buyer has what was bought, and the seller has the money, so at that point, there was a consummated sale. If at that point, there was a consummated sale, obviously, once there's a full-fledged sale, nobody has the right to back out. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Rava, Hachem my skin, Rav Shimon, and this price is speaking about a case, Kigoyin Shoyos Aliyah Shalakeach Meskeres B'Yad Meicher, that the Lekeach was, there's a home with two stories, and the seller rented out the upper story of his home to Lekeach. And that's where he left the commodity that's being sold. So the halach is, even though there was only money given, but there was no real kinyan in the payris. They just happened to be stored in the lekeach's apartment. And the Gemara explains, because tamim might the kinyan about a mashicha. What have we been learning throughout this perek? What did Chazal say the mashicha is required? That if there's a fire, we want the meicher to do what he has to do to protect that asset. Hacha. But in this case, b'shusad lekeach nenu, the asset is already in the property of the lekeach. And if chas v'sholem, there's going to be a fire, as iu taruch ha-maisala, so the lekeach will do whatever he has to do. And therefore here, even though there wasn't a mashicha, it's what the Bryce is teaching us is that it's treated as if there was mashicha. Says the Marhu Gavad Yav Zuzah Chamra. There was somebody that gave money to buy wine, but he didn't do mashicha. L'soiv sham de kaboy l'mitzvei de pazik refila. After a while, he heard that the king's prime minister, whose name was Parzik, wants to buy this wine. Amale, so the buyer said to the seller, Havli Zuzi, Lebina Chamri, give me my money, I don't want the wine. Asla Kamedra of Chizda, and it came to Rav Chizda. Amale, Kedash at Kinem Mashicha and Mikrim, just like the Mashicha, until this Mashicha, the seller could back out, Kach Tikinu Mashicha Vel Kichas, and the lekech to back out before there was a kinyan. That the halach he's saying is like the chamim, that both until there was a kinyan could back out. We begin now the sugya of Einoah. The Targ Dosh says, V'chisimka memkala misecha, akana miyada misecha, al taina ishas achav. The Torah says that we have to be careful not to cheat. And says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, Hainoah arba b'kesef, what is the shear of Einoah? 4 kesef, mi esim v'arba kesef a seller. So if something's value was a seller, which has in it 24 more kesef, the amount of Einoah is 4, which means shtus l'mekach. 4 out of 24 equal a sixth. Ad mosai muta lachser. But now the Mishnah asks another question. For how long does this halacha apply? That you could come and say, well, there was a Einoah here. Says the Gemara, You have enough time to show it, to show what you bought to a merchant, to a professional, or to your relative, and then he'll be able to tell you if there was a cheat, if you were cheated. Hire Rav Tarfon Belud. Rav Tarfon then in Lord Paskin, the Noah Shmoina Kesef, Baba Esra Kesel Sela. That the, if what was sold is really worth 24, if you overcharged or undercharged 8 out of the 24, which is a third, Shlish Lamekach, the Samuch Tagri Lad, they were very happy because they knew how to overcharge. But as long as they overcharged less than a third, which is of course much more than less than a sixth, they could back out of the deal. So that made them happy. Amulhem, but now Rav Tarfon added another point. He says, Kol ayoyim mutalachzer, that the halacha is you could back out of a deal the whole day. You have the entire day to back out of a deal. Not just the amount of time it takes to bring it to somebody, not just the amount of time it takes to bring to somebody to look at. Amaloi, Yenichle Rav Tarfon Mukamenu. So they said Rav Tarfon no longer represents, Rav Tarfon no longer represents such a great deal. Because now what happens is that the person who was cheated has a whole day to back away. Chazru Kedivri Chachamim, and then they went back to follow the opinion of the Chachamim. So Rav Chanan Wasserman asks, you know, this Gemara, this Mishnah is sort of difficult to understand, says Rav Chanan. Could you pick and choose whose psak you want to follow? The Mishnah is saying that first they followed the psak of Rav Tarfon, and then they followed the psak of the Chachamim. How does Allah allow you to pick and choose whose opinion you want to follow? So Rav Chanan says, from here we have a raya to a very important point in Dinei Torah of Dinei Mamonos of Chayshe Mishpat. And that is, there's a concept of kimli. If somebody is in a Dinei Torah over a financial matter, if he could find an opinion that agrees with what he's saying, then the halacha is that kimli teaches us that is an acceptable halachic approach. And says the Gemara, that's exactly what's happening over here. This person was saying, they originally said, it's in our benefit to follow the opinion of Rav Tarfon, and the halacha is you follow that opinion. And then the halacha is that, and now you could say, kimli, that I want to follow the opinion of the Chachamim. The Sefer Eitz Hadas Toiv explains, we remember the episode in the Torah where Esav sold the Bechira to Yaakov, and the pasuk says the Yaakov v'yelech v'yizav v'yivez Esav b'chayra. Esav got up and he embarrassed the b'chayra. So, what does the Torah ask the Sefer Eitz Hadas Toiv have to tell us that Esav got up and he left and he embarrassed the b'chayra? So he explains that Esav could have made a claim that I was cheated. There was a gnaw here that you had no right to do what you did. But we're learning now in the Mishnah that you can't make that claim forever. So that's why the Mishnah says, Vayokam Vayelech, he left, and he was away for a while. Once he was away for a while, the deal is a deal. And that's why Vayivez Esav Bechayra, the deal was a deal, and Esav had embarrassed the Bechayra. Etmar, Rav Amar Shtus Mekach. When we make the evaluation of a sixth, we look at it, what is it? Is it a sixth of the deal? Not of what I paid, but what is the value of what was sold? Shmuel Omer, Shtus Mamis Namishnina. We don't just look at the value of what was sold, we look at the amount that was paid. So says the Gemara. What exactly are we speaking about? Shavashita. If somebody sold something which is worth $6 for $5, or somebody sold Shita, if somebody sold something which is worth $6 for $7, Kula Alma Pligi, everybody agrees, the Basa Mekachazlinan, that there's a sixth in the difference of what was sold, Vainahav, and it's a case of a Nah. Ki Pligi, the question is, Shavi Chamsha, he sold something that's worth $5, Bishita for $6. Or Shavi Sheva, where he sold something that's worth $7, Bishita for $6. The Shmuel, according to Shmuel, that says Mos is Linen, we look at how much was paid. These two cases are also a no. But if we look at the, and the Gemara says, but lo Rav, but according to Rav Damabasa Mekkah Chazlin, we look at the actual value of what was sold. The Shavacham Shabashita, if I sold something that's worth 5 for 6, Bitl Mekkah Chava. But if I sold Shavish Shiva Bashita, if I sold something which is worth $7 for $6, there's Mechila Hava, because it's less than a sixth. And if it's less than a sixth, even though I paid more than a sixth, the halacha is that it's not a norm. Shmuel Amar, Kamrina Mechila, when do we say that there's Mechila when it was less than a sixth? Hecha, the Lekash Tush Meshneit Stodim. Not Bittel Mekach, nor Bittel Moz. Aval Hecha, Dekash Tush Mitzarecha. If in any way it's going to be a sixth, it's going to be a Nohav, it's going to be a case of a Noah. Tanan, says the Gemara, the Mishnah taught us, Haino Arba Kesef, Miasim Arba Kesef, Lasel Shtus Lamekath. My love, isn't it speaking about a case, the Zovin Shove Esrim, that I sold something which is only worth $20, and I sold it for $24. Now, that's not a sixth of what it's worth. It's a sixth of what I paid. So isn't that a raya, says the Gemara, Shmamino Shtus Moos Namishnina? Says Gemara Loi. The case of the Mishnah is the Zovin Shove Esrim V'Arba, something which is worth 24, I sold for 20. So it's in the object that was sold, not just in the money paid. Says the Gemara, if that's the case of the Mishnah, Minas Ana, in this case, who is the one that lost out? The Meicher. He should have gotten 24, and he only got 20. Amos Sefer, let's continue learning the Mishnah. And Masim Mutal Haqzer, we learned, till when could you claim there was a Noah? You have enough time to go show and to your relative or expert what you paid. And a Dat Rav Nachman said, Lo Shana Lekeach. That was only said for the Lekeach. And Meichel Olam. The Lekeach, and as we're going to learn, the Lekeach is holding on to the object. So he has the ability to go check out that he paid the right price. The person who sold it no longer has what was sold. Since he no longer has what was sold, he doesn't have the ability anymore to go check. So therefore, he can always go back. If we're saying that the Meicher, how can we say that the Mishnah is speaking about a case that the Meicher was the one that I know, then the next part of the Mishnah wouldn't be relevant. Ella was saying that speaking about the Shavin V'Esrim V'Arba, you sold something which is worth 24, V'Esrim V'Tamya, and you got 28 for this. The Lekeach was the one that was overcharged, but it's an arba of the Mos, but not an arba of the Mekach. And the Mishnah is teaching us that too is considered, and the Mishnah is teaching us, says Shmuel, that too is a case of Einor.